Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
I want to talk about deprived areas. They're seeing a decline in unemployment. While health gap has widened, a new study with the Economic Social Research Institute, ERSI, commissioned by Pobel, has found that unemployment in Ireland's most deprived areas has significantly declined in recent years, particularly in independent urban towns. However, the study also warns of persistent and even worsening inequalities. There are people with disabilities, lone parents, that continue to face great disadvantages. Most concerning is the widening health gap between the most and the least disadvantaged areas. That old adage, you know, money doesn't buy your health, but it certainly helps, doesn't it? This is still a massive gap between the rich and the poor. And it was mentioned the other night about, you know, the show how the Constitution, I think Martin mentioned it, protects all the children, and all the children have rights equally under the law. Now, it doesn't matter where they live, or it shouldn't, whether they live, you know, in a rich or poor area, or what their parents do for work. We should all be treated, and all children of the state should be treated equally. And we should all be given the same opportunities. Even if children and young students from rich or poor backgrounds are given the same opportunities, can they be given or guaranteed the same outcome? Absolutely not, no matter what their circumstances are. But I want to know what you think, because, you know, Martin said this the other night, you know, about giving people the same equal opportunities, children equal opportunities. Do you believe that children and young students that may receive the same, or do they receive the same opportunities? You know, like, for example, does Johnny and Finglas have the same opportunities as Mary and Dawkey? Do you think they have the same opportunities? Now, obviously, Mary and Dawkey will go on more holidays and she'll have more luxuries in life. But I'm talking about education-wise, rights. Will they have the same opportunities to go to college? Will they have the same opportunities when they get a job? When they go for an interview, will they be treated the same way? Do you think they have the same opportunities? The lower class, if you want to call it that, or the working class, and the upper class? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. First of all, let me go to Raj if I can. Raj, hi, how are you?
I don't know.
Good. Well, good, Raj. Raj, do you think they have the same opportunities?
I'd say yes, because it's not about the where they live in. Like, you know, you'll find millionaires in Finglas, and you'll find poor people in Dalkey as well.
Oh, well, I know that. But I suppose we're just using that as an analogy. Generally speaking, you know, Finglas would be working class, Dawkey would be middle to upper class.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So, I mean, do they get the same, you know, does a 14-year-old from Finglas and a 14-year-old from Killiney or Dawkey, do they have the same opportunities in life?
No, I don't think so. They would not get the same opportunity in their lives, actually.
Do you think they're treated equally by the state?
Once they're out of their homes, at the luxuries, yes, they'll be treated that, no matter what. Like, you know, say, once they're into a domain, they'll be treated the same until unless they show their coming out of Bugatti and coming out of a Ford. It makes a lot of difference. Like, you know, once they see, oh, yeah, she's coming out of Bugatti and the Finglas guy coming out of Ford. So it makes a lot of difference. But again, keep them aside. Yes, they'll be shown with an equal interest size.
Do you think working class people are discriminated against? So when Johnny, you know, goes to college and gets, you know, an opportunity to go for an interview for a job, and then Mary from Dawkey is going for the same job, do you think Johnny is discriminated against because he's from Finglas and might have, you know, a Dublin accent, whereas Mary might have a Southside accent?
No, it's not. Like, you know, because no matter how the accent is, like, say if you have a strong Dub accent, not Dub accent, like, it depends upon his qualifications, like, you know, so it depends upon how he presents himself. Say, the Johnny from Finglas, like if he's wearing a suit and a tie and present himself, even though he's got a northern accent or strong Dub accent, like, you know, if he's capable enough, yes, he'll get the job. And on the other side, like, you know, if Dalkey woman who's coming with a rich
Southside accent, yeah, the Southside accent,
and very smooth accent, but again, very rough in presentation. Like, you know, it's like, go fuck yourself. You don't give me a job. My dad is a fucking millionaire. Like, you know? So it matters a lot.
Do you know who you're talking to? Yeah.
Yeah, you know who my dad is. Like, you know, he can employ 100 people. But again, I'm just coming out of her experience. Go fuck yourself. No, that doesn't work out with employers. Like, you know, they're looking to employ the fingerless man who is rough in accent. But again, he's got well-presented man. So,
Okay. And what about the gap? What about the gap between the rich and the poor? Do you think that gap is getting wider?
See, that's every country's problem. You see, like, you know, even, you know, I'm coming from India. Rich is richer, and poor is getting poorer. And
yeah, but there's a wider gap in India than there would be here in Ireland. A much wider gap. I mean, in India, you have extremely rich people that work for Tata and places like that, and then you've got, you know, I'm talking about baseline poverty that you wouldn't see in Ireland. Third world conditions in certain places.
Yeah, I can't comment on the gap, though, to be honest. So I don't know. It might contradict my statements in many ways, though.
Mm.
It's better not to say about that gap.
Yeah, no. I mean, it is a huge gap in India between the very rich and the very poor. Whereas in Ireland, we have a gap, but, you know, we do have wealthy people and we do have poorer people, but I don't think we've anybody in Ireland. Well, certainly we shouldn't have, because our social welfare system is reasonably generous. We don't have people who would be literally on the line of poverty. When I say poverty, where they can't literally eat, they have no food. You know?
It's only, I don't know, I shouldn't be saying this, but again, I bring my wife from Finglas, as I said, like the other day, and I see four people or three people every day begging on the road. And it's only yesterday, the day before yesterday, in Dublin City, one man was picking, like, cans from the...
Yeah, to get money for the recycling,
Yeah, from the bins, and it was, like, I expect he going into Lidl or Aldi and get the money out of the recycling cans, so...
Well, yeah, but Raj, to be fair, many of the people who are sleeping rough on the streets, now I know we're seeing a lot more of it now because people are coming from other countries too, but many of the people that we see sleeping rough on the streets, many of them, not all of them, have other social issues as well. Drink, drugs. And they're entitled to the same social welfare payment as somebody who's unemployed. So what I'm saying to you is, we all have an opportunity to put things right again. But sometimes some people fall between the cracks because, you know, as I said, they may have a mental health problem, social problem, drink problem, drug problem, and that doesn't help them to get back on their feet.
They see, it all depends upon, like, you know, once, I don't know when they get the social welfare payments, like, you know, maybe it's Thursday, so I'm not sure, but once they get the money, that it all depends upon what they choose for, like, you know, if they're hungry, they go for food. And even though if you're hungry and they go for drugs, so it's two different ways.
Yeah, you know that an alcoholic is going to put drink before food, and so is a drug addict. They're going to put drugs before food. Okay, but stay there. We're going off the topic a little bit. Hang on, Raj. Now we go to Leanna. Leanna, hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad now. And yourself?
Good. Leanna, getting back to the original topic, do you think, Martin mentioned the other night that all children should be treated equally according to the Constitution. Do you think all children have the same opportunities?
No, and it was funny, actually, you mentioned that, because I was in a meeting with Bernard Gloucester, the CEO of the HSC for Disability of Children, and we were talking about how do we fit them into the world. And the variances from county to county, let alone from bigger cities to more rural areas, like my child has the fortunate thing that he's on a team and he's got full access to everything, whereas a numerous amount of people around the country don't have the same access. They have the right to it, but they don't have it because it doesn't exist there.
Mm.
And even when they try to go and get it, if the resources aren't there, they can't avail of it. So then they have to go private. And these people have given up careers to make sure that one person stays home with that child, whether it be mum or dad, to make sure that they are looked after. And, you know, so there could be a very well-to-do person working in the family, but it's still not enough. Like, you know, when you're talking about private care for a child just to be in this world, who already has the whole world to fight against anyway, you know, like that money's not coming from nowhere. It's not government funded, but your child needs it and the government can't.
But isn't there always, when we, and I say this delicately, and I don't want to be sound insensitive, when you have children with a myriad of disabilities, you know, across Ireland, with different types of disabilities, it would be almost impossible to treat every child equally and to give every child the same opportunity, because sometimes some of those disabilities are quite unique. No. What I'm saying is some of those disabilities would be quite unique in some children. Yes. And, you know, and it's difficult to put in, you know, processes in place, you know, just for those children. We see already, for example, Ireland is one of the worst countries in Europe for employment for people with disabilities, because we don't have access to buildings. There's too many narrow footpaths, even for somebody who's a wheelchair user. There's too many problems for blind people walking around the city. I mean, we're really bad at dealing with that kind of stuff, but it's expensive.
Yeah, so the same opportunities for my other children. Like they have a benchmark. There should be a benchmark, and there isn't a benchmark at the moment to make all children equal. There is a benchmark for children without disabilities and people. So my children go to a primary school here. It's not a private school. It's a normal primary school. And the cost of sending them to school isn't about the books or anything like that. It's school tours. It stays out for football. It's the bus trip that I get given the notice for the night before, or even, you know, all that kind of thing. That's not equality, and school's not free.
Mm.
You know, like even to get my kid to school on a bus cost me €50 a year. Now, don't get me wrong, that is extortionately cheap. I can't even take my kid to school for that price. But and so it's still a cost. It's not.
Yeah, no, it all adds up. I understand. It all adds up. Yeah. It's a cost that other people don't have. Yeah.
100%. And whether you're on a social or you're working, for some people, it's an additional cost. It's still an income out of their budget. Now, obviously, if you're on the lower end of the economic scale, like where do you find that money when you're only being given just enough to get by of a day to day? Now, a lot of people choose their circumstances and they want to live in that world, and that's up to themselves. But most people of good nature they went from being in a full income household to now being on their own with their children and having to make do with the income they have. And that's when it becomes difficult, because you can't save up for something you didn't know all of a sudden you're going to be doing on quarter of an income.
Leaving aside, and I'm not ignoring, by the way, families who have children with disabilities, children who don't, able-bodied children, do you believe that no matter where you're from, be it Finglas or Dalkey, we use it as an example, as two, you know, a working class area and a middle to upper class area, do you believe they all have the same equal opportunities in life?
I don't, in a lot of respects, that some of those children don't come from people that respect the education system or respect the work system. And whereas I do think that people try offer the same opportunities. I don't think your accent makes much difference.
Like, do you not think so?
No, I've never found that to be.
Well, I suppose it'd be different for you because obviously you have an accent. It'd be different for you because you're coming originally from New Zealand. And I suppose.
Yeah, but I'm also one of the most foreign people who live in this country in comparison. I come from the most furthest away.
But would you know, if you listened to a Dublin accent, would you know where that person was from?
Mm-mm. Most, by how they speak to me, i.e. about the subject at hand, the job, will tell me whether or not they're right for the position.
All right, well, listen, hang on, because I have to go to a break. And Owen, I promise you, I've left you waiting ages there. I'm going to come to you straight as soon as the break is over. Owen, I will be with you, all right? Raj and Leanna, stay there with me. We're talking about the rich and the poor, essentially. And according to a new study, that they have found that there's a decline in unemployment in certain areas of Ireland that we wouldn't have expected to see. But in saying that, the gap is widening slightly between, I suppose, particularly the health gap between the rich and the poor. And the question is, we were talking tonight about the Constitution offering the same equal opportunities to all children of the state. Do you believe that all children of the state, when I say children right up to the age of college, Do you believe they all have the same opportunities, no matter where they are and where they're from or what their accent is like? Owen, sorry for leaving you waiting so long. I do apologise, Owen. Are you there?
I am. I'm here all right now. How's it going, boys?
Good. You're probably aged by the time I got to you. Anyway.
Well, sometimes it feels that way, but I know you're doing your best. And it was interesting listening to some of the points there being made, but I just make this quick point there.
Yeah.
That chap Raj, who came from India.
Yeah.
He's at an immediate disadvantage in this country, and so are his kids.
Why?
Like, he doesn't have the whole network, the family network here, you know, the push and pull.
Well, I don't know how long Raj is living here. It could be 20 or 30. How long are you living here, Raj?
24 years now.
24 years. Well, then there'd be a bit of a network. Probably, yeah, you wouldn't have distant cousins. Well, and
he doesn't have an uncle who'll pull him into a handy number in RT or anything, does he?
No.
They'll be telling him he can't speak Irish. Good luck, Raj.
Oh, maybe he does. Maybe he does speak Irish.
No, I agree with him. Like, you know, we don't have that physical touch. But again,
I think Raj, the point he's making is because in Ireland, it's not. There was always this saying when it comes to getting a job: it's not what you know, it's who you know. And
correct.
Yeah, and you know, your uncle or your second cousin removed, first cousin, whatever, I don't know, knew somebody who knew somebody who knew there was a job going somewhere. In other words, people have networks of cousins and relationships, you know.
Yeah.
And that would be a disadvantage for you.
I agree. Yeah. That's
and your kids, maybe. Well, not so much your kids, maybe, because by that stage, then there'll be more people, you know, in that family unit. Anyway, Owen, do you reckon all kids of the state, no matter where they're from or what part of a city, on the south side or north side of Cork, for example, are they all given the same opportunities?
Well, the opportunities are presented. But, like, say, for example, school opportunities, education opportunities, and I would believe Raj would be a good man to grasp these with both hands. But I think that a lot of people in more ordinary areas would say, oh, you won't need Irish, don't bother with that. Or you'll never need business, don't bother with that. Or there's no point in doing honours math and all that kind of thing. Because they're depending on the old system of push and pull. But now, with the increase in population, there's more pressure on employers to hire the right person for the job. And education is going to be crucial for that. And the proof of the pudding of that is, in fact, that all the leaders of the main left-wing parties were all privately educated.
Yeah.
The great socialist Mary Lou MacDonald's, the big lefties of
Paul Murphy and
all of them.
Yeah, and Richard Boyd Barrett and
and the whole.
Yeah, well, so they all went to good schooling. Well, actually, I don't know where Paul Murphy. Yeah, I think he went to some good third level education.
Good school as well too. Yeah. No, he wasn't good.
Well, that's what they call them, champagne socialists, isn't it? Is that what they call them? That, sure. They're all well off, even though they're socialists.
I would say that people who make the most of their educational opportunities have a better chance of succeeding. And if you come from a home where education isn't prioritised, or your parents had a poorer standard of education and they can't help you with your honours maths, they can't help you with your science or your Irish, then you're at a disadvantage. And I see it here in Cork. I pass Educate Together schools and I pass Gael schools, and there's a pile of the new Irish going to the Gael schools and doing very well, and there's intergenerational Irish people here and they can't speak a word of it, and they're at an immediate disadvantage because they don't get the push from home, whereas a lot of the new people coming in, the Indians, the Chinese, they're working 25-8 in the chipper, but they want their kids to be doctors. And you don't always see that point, that push in ordinary parts of the city. Like, people have said to me, like, how many kids do you know have become doctors? And I was saying, well, it was 3 in my eldest daughter's class became doctors, and 2. And when I call up to the wife there, there's 4 of the neighbouring children are doctors. And there's parts of the city where they wouldn't be able to say that now, because they're not getting the home push, they're not getting the value in education. And if you're in an area where You know, there's fellas piebalds wandering around the place, and there's fellas on scooters and scramblers making quick money. Young people can be fooled and allured into that false lifestyle of the quick buck instead of thinking long term and putting their head down and doing well in school. And I think that's the difference between wealthy people and ordinary people, that wealthy people think long term and they have the ability to make their money work for them instead of breaking their ass 25-8. That's my opinion on it.
Raj, I think that's quite a good synopsis, isn't it? You're in a working class area where somebody has a horse is hatched to the gate or out in the front garden and people are going around and stolen motorbikes, you think short term. You think, how can I have some fun with these people? You're not thinking of, should I stay in my bedroom and study?
Yeah, I agree. That's a perfect statement, actually. Mm,
yeah. I never thought of it from that point of view. Yeah, I mean, you probably are right that people who have what they need.
When I came into Ireland, I came up with a big file of all of my certifications, like my graduation, my master's and all. And never in my 20 years of life I've been asked for or looking or glance at my certification. No employer ever asked me.
And what have you got a master's degree in, Raj?
It's a master in English literature. So
okay.
So right now, as the gentleman says, like education, now people are looking for graduation or post-graduation or master's, and they are looking for a minimum qualification to get into a job, which is nice, actually. That brings up the competition.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Stay there. Let me just go to Ingrid as well. Ingrid, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, Ingrid. I know you're on a speaker, so it's kind of difficult to hear you, but I know you want to make a point in relation to, I suppose, how people are treated, children particularly.
The opportunities are not the same. They can be, like, our government tries to project that everything is being treated equally and there's equal opportunities, but it starts really, as one caller earlier said, it starts from the home and the opportunities that are in the home. Not all parents are available to help their children in the way they would like to. Some are, you know, they're caught up with two people working long hours just a roof over their head. Others are wasting their money, you know, drinking drugs, whatever. Whatever the ethos is in the home, that is going to get projected over to the children. And then they're going to see that, and as your man also said, if they're in an area where people are earning easy money, it's very easy to influence the young mind. Now, that's so much, okay, that can happen, but there is the opportunity to go back to education at some point. But it's not just the economic. Some are from home that have...
Yeah, it's the environmental impact of it all. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, it is the environmental. And it's not just even that, it's the nutrition and the health. Not everyone, we talk about a healthy nutritional...
That's a good point, yeah.
...the mind, etc. Not everybody is growing up with that. You know, my children had friends where they were never given vegetables and fruit.
The only thing they see is McDonald's. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That to us was madness, because our ethos was very much of fresh meat, fresh fish, fresh vegetables, fresh food, fruit. I had children with allergies. I had a celiac. We had no other option. But having said that, I could see the difference in how the mind works. You know, that it does, a healthy nutritional diet does help feed the brain, but it's also inside in the schools as well. Teachers treat children differently from where the areas they are from, and also from their background.
Well, the schools tend to be in the localities where they live. So, you know, for obviously in some working class areas, you'd have desh schools.
There is, but if you, yes, but if you go down out of the city and you've got, you know, down in the country where there's only a certain amount of high school in that vicinity, it doesn't matter whether, you know, your parents have won the lottery and you're mega rich, or whether you're weather poor, you're going to go end up in that same school. So, you know, and also, like, I can remember going into a parent-teacher's meeting, and there was a couple of children in my son's class that were kind of disruptive. And I did ask my teacher, you know, what has been done, because it's been disruptive for, you know, the whole class as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, of course.
And her answer to me was, oh, don't worry, once we finish junior search and they're travellers, they'll be gone. How is that treating somebody equally?
Yeah, that's a bit unfair. Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah, so hope, just, you know, hope the problem goes away rather than fixing the problem. Yeah.
Yes, and then you've got the children with additional needs. As much as we've gone forward and we've opened up for more SMAs and, you know, and different special units, et cetera, et cetera, there's still, the opportunities are still not always there. You know, parents sometimes, they have to give up work to be able to look after their own children with additional needs. Therefore, they're losing that income that they could be otherwise, you know. So as much as Ireland tries to project that we are, you know, we're like, we are diverse now, thankfully, but are we inclusive? No. They tried to project that, but on a reality, I don't think we do.
Well, I did say to Jana earlier on, we're never going to get that perfect. You know, that's never going to be... we're never going to have the same opportunities for everybody, be they disabled or able-bodied, because we just can't, because there's such a myriad of different types of disabilities and needs of people. So we could try our best, exactly. Obviously, you know.
Yeah, well, you can try your best. I mean, like, but even with that... You know, the opportunity, some of the opportunities that are there, but can they avail of it? I teach in further education, and we've had students come to us and they're trying to avail of what's there for them, but because of where they live, they cannot afford their own transport, so they are relying on public transport. Eventually they will drop out because the public transport is unreliable, or it's the difference of, do I put a meal on my table, or do I pay for the bus to go to my class?
Yeah.
And that's the stark reality that...
Not just the area they're from. What about, you know, do you think we still discriminate against people's accents? I'll ask Owen that in a second when it comes to Cork. But
yes.
Do we still discriminate?
Yes.
Hmm. So depending...
There is a lot... We have...
Hang on, Owen.
Ireland has a high level of discrimination. In it.
Mm.
You know, we have one of the highest levels of discrimination in European countries. We're the third wealthiest rich, but yet we have one of the biggest divides, and the government has one of the second highest debts. But yet, you know, we can come up with all these grandeur things for the government, but is it being put into where it is needed in our own country? No, it's not. And therefore, then it's the people, not those that have the money, that are affected by it. They can get, you know, if it's just healthcare, they can get other pay for healthcare. They can, you know, do things. But those that do not have that economic need, they are getting the brunt of that. And it's very, very difficult. It's become a tight circle of how do you get out of this box area that you are in.
Well, let me just go back to Owen on that. Owen, do you think it matters where somebody is from? Now, I can only speak for Dublin, but you can speak for Cork. You know, if somebody's from the north side or the south side, different accents from where they come from, Roy Keane. Where's Roy Keane from? What's the name of the place Roy Keane comes from?
He's from the north side.
Yeah.
And where he's from in...
It's a working class area. Yeah.
It is a very ordinary area, but it adjoins some of the most salubrious places, like Lover's Walk, Montanati, Tivoli, all that. They're only a strong man spitting distance from his mother's house. You know, so I don't think there is that much of a difference. No, I actually believe that Roy Keane, on his venture into commentary and things like that, I believe he got coaching. I think his accent has changed over the years.
Well, maybe just because he publicly speaks so much now, maybe he's just changed himself, because that can happen too. But do you generally, leaving Roy aside, do you generally believe people are discriminated against in Cork because of a different type of working class accent?
I would think maybe it depends on the job. I would think, like, say, if somebody was like front of house, reception, or, you know, a greeting point in a bank or something like that, or an insurance company, or in a solicitor's office or an accountant's office, that they'd be expected to be putting in new business and representing the company, and they'd have a dress code, and they would expect you to be well spoken. You know, we call it in Cork speaking as if you have hot apple tart in the mouth, and we all do it. If
I'm hot apple
home,
tart in the mouth.
We do. If I'm driving home some night and the guard stop me, I don't roll down the window and say, "How are you, Shade?" Like, I say,
"All right, bye.
Guard, can I help you?" Like, you know, that's just the reality of it.
I'm thinking about the hobbit. I'm going to do the hot apple tart. Okay, oh, so have you got a hot apple tart in your mouth? Yeah, you talk about it like
Fox
that.
Rock.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Yeah, like, that's a good plan. I remember that one for the future. If I ever stop by the guards, I'll put the hot apple tart in my mouth. Let me go to Jackie if I can. Jackie, hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm grand, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, Jackie. We got a better phone line tonight, I think, have we? Yeah, hopefully. Anyway, yeah. Jackie, do you think there's that people from working class areas and upper class areas are treated differently?
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, it's not where you live, it's how you're brought up.
Okay.
And when your address is down on an application form, the interviewer is going to go to pick a Dublin 4 person than any other address first, I think.
Okay, so they look at your address, they see where you're from. Yeah, okay. Do you think that still happens? I remember, because I'm originally from Edenmore in Dublin, and I remember, you know, when you went to a nightclub or out like that, you never said you were from Edenmore. We used to say, I used to say Raheny when they used to ask me where I was from, because if you said Edenmore, you wouldn't have got in.
Okay, well, I'm from Tallaght.
All right, okay. And do you think Tallaght still has a bad reputation with some people?
I think so, definitely. And that's what I'm saying. Before you even go to the interview, what you write down on your application form depends on whether they're going to, they kind of have this thing.
A preconceived notion about who you are and what you are, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I think. And I think the D4 people are going to get that interview first.
Over you.
You know?
So in other words, if they see two applications on the table and it's Jackie from Tala and Saoirse from Dalkey, you think Saoirse from Dalkey is going to get first preference?
Yeah, and like, it doesn't matter what your personality is, because they're not even going to see it or interview you first. Like, they're going to go for them.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting.
That's what I think.
I know, I'm not disagreeing with you. I know it did happen. I would hate to think it's still happening, but it obviously does. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. And have you ever had personal experience of, say, discrimination because of where you're from or your background? Do you have any personal experience? Do you believe you've ever been discriminated against?
No. Okay. I haven't.
Okay, and what about children? According to the Constitution, all children are equal and all should be treated equally by the state. Do you think the kids in Tala are treated the same way by the state as the kids in, as we said, Dalkey or Fox Rock or whatever it is? Are they all given the same opportunities?
I don't really know now, because my kids are all reared and I don't know. They didn't go to a Deasy or Dicey school or anything like that.
Deasy school, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's where they would be discriminated from if they came from a school like that.
Mm.
Or a private school. Or any school. My kids didn't come from one of them schools, but they're all doing well anyway.
Mm.
But I'm saying it's the address that really bugs me before they even get to an interview would be, and that is still going on.
Owen, you listen to what Jackie is saying there, Owen. Do you think people are discriminated against? So you, on an application form, where you're from?
I wouldn't have any experience of that.
But do you imagine it still happens?
Oh, yeah. I don't think so. Definitely, and it's still...
Okay, well, hang on. I see Owen believes that's still happening in Cork as well. I know it happens here in Dublin.
I can tell you, Niall, employers are crying out so much for people that I don't think they can. And especially now with the litigious nature of things, I don't believe there's much of that going on. I believe that there's employers out there are afraid now not to give jobs to somebody who declares like to be part of a minority, whether it's traveller or New Irish or around their sexuality or mental health issues. There might be people who discriminate based on address. I don't have experience of that, but I do have experience of going to an interview and the guy knew a neighbour of mine, so the address was an advantage, and instead of phoning the references that I had listed on my CV, he actually phoned my neighbour and asked him about me, and I ended up getting the job.
Okay, that was good.
So I think that goes back to push and pull on every door in Ireland as well too, though, you know?
There's an element of nepotism about that.
There's a touch of nepotism about that.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, Niall, I can't help thinking, and I know for a fact that I have been discriminated against in other jobs because I wasn't from certain working class areas. They definitely gave the job to pals from their own working class areas, you know, and I think there's, okay, that's,
so that can work both ways, is what you're saying to me. So the guy
definitely,
who has the building company in Talla or Finglas, you know, looks at the application from, you know, Nigel from Dockey, and he says, ah, he's not one of our own. We're not giving it to him.
Well, that's his first thought, but he can always justify it on the basis that if he hires a fella from Talla, he can give him a lift to work.
Yeah, or he knows he's going to be. He knows he's going to be in time.
He can call round to the house and check up on him, or he'll be able to find out if he's got it in the Monday morning.
Yes, I don't know how you can discriminate. I mean, I'm not denying what Jackie says, and I'm sure that happens. But I don't know how you can discriminate against the whole of Talla. Talla's like a city; it's bigger than Limerick.
I know. It'll be a city.
Yeah, it is. It's you. I mean, I don't know how people could imagine that you could discriminate against the whole of Talla. Because, as I said, it's, how many people? 250,000, is it?
It is.
Yeah, but I'm saying they would with Dublin 4. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah, when you're
Dublin
comparing
4.
It. Yeah, yeah, as a comparison. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, well, stay there just a second. Let me just bring Martin into the conversation as well. Martin, hi, how are you?
Hi, Dion. How are things with you tonight?
Good, Martin. Martin, do you believe that people are discriminated against because of where they come from, their background, or are all kids, which according to the Constitution, treated equally?
No, well, I'm originally from Dublin, from Cabra in Dublin. And my brother is a high-ranking official in Jiu-Jitsu. And he takes on people from all backgrounds.
Right.
It doesn't matter where you come from, the slums of India to a high-ranking, Dockey or anywhere like that. And he doesn't care. He just wants the talent. So you got the talent and you have the experience, you're in the door.
Right, okay.
And it's up to you. It's up to you whether you make a work or not.
Mm.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And do you think most employers are like that?
Look, yeah. most employers would want the talent. They just don't want the grief. Like if your family turns up or anything like that. But they will take it on because talent is needed in Ireland.
Oh, it is. Most
professionals. Mm. Yeah, when it comes to kids and everything like that, I'm sorry, but there is a 2 level or maybe even a 3 level. If you have an operation or anything like that, and you want to go with the HSC, you've got to be on a waiting list. It doesn't matter who you are, your kids are going to. And if people can afford to take it privately or out of the country, they're going to do that, of course. You know, when it comes to help for their kids.
Yeah, so you essentially believe that, well, it actually did say that in the study by the ERSI, that they found that there was the health gap was widening.
Yeah, it would be because you have private matter and then you have the public matter. Yeah, If my friend was suffering from his heart, and he went away 3 weeks just to see a doctor in the matter hospital, but he got to see a doctor within an hour because he went to private matter because he paid the cash.
Mm.
So I can only imagine that if it's for a child, it's going to be the same gig. Yeah, money talks. Yeah. Yeah, and that's how it is. And yeah. if it's your child, you're going to spend the money to get it done.
And when they say money doesn't buy your health, I don't buy that line. I certainly believe that money certainly helps with your health.
Well, look, I always went with the gold rule. Those who have the gold make the rules, yeah? So yeah. if your child is sick, you're going to get the best doctors you possibly can for the money that you have, yeah?
Yeah.
And if you leave it for the HSE, I'm sure you're going to get a proper care, but you're going to be on the waiting list. And some people have died being on a waiting list. So...
Yeah.
There we are.
But the thing about it is, most people who are reasonably well off will have private healthcare, whereas most people who are working class won't. Isn't that the difference?
No, they won't.
No.
That's exactly it. It's no longer when you go to a job, what you're being paid. What are the benefits? Just like in America, what are the benefits? And if you're not getting covered by Aviva or whatever it is, Irish Life for your pension or anything like that, if you have some talent, you're going to take it elsewhere.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's almost an obligation now in most jobs in America. You'll see the ads about, you know, private healthcare. Because when you walk into, say, places like Walmart and Publix and you see 80-year-old people at the cash desk and you're going, how come they're that age still working? The reason they're working is because they get private healthcare from all these. So they only have to work part-time, a few days a week, a couple of days a week, and they get free private healthcare. And for older people, that's a necessity in America.
Absolutely. And the only thing about in America is children all have to have insurance. So you have to pay. It's actually by law, you have to pay a certain amount of money each week for those children. So when they go into a hospital or emergency care or anything like that.
Martin, we're paying. We're paying PRSI. That's what PRSI is meant before.
You might as well put that in somebody's back pocket in the HSE.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we're actually paying for our healthcare already. People say, oh, well, maybe everybody should have to pay for healthcare. We're already paying. We pay in our wages every single week. It's called PRSI.
Yeah, but it's not getting any better. You're paying people in the HSC. They're getting increments every year.
Mm.
So they're getting paid more money to do the same job. Yeah?
Yeah.
What should happen to the HSC, it should go 24 hours. It shouldn't be stopped at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. Yeah? A night team should come on. To get the backlog off. But of course, that means the people that we pay money to, like PDs, actually have to think about what they're doing. Yeah? But that's beyond me.
So the bottom line is people are not being treated equally, is what you're saying.
No, exactly. Why should it be treated? The private, the HSC, when I was growing up, we had nurses and then we had matrons that would look after each section. Now in the HSC, it's all private companies, recruitment companies to come in there. And they're getting the contracts because they know PD this, they know counselor this, they know somebody in the HSC.
Mm.
Yeah? And they're getting the large chunk of the HSC's budget. But when it comes to jobs, people want talent. They don't care where you're from. Only that you turn up, do the job, get the job done, and go home, baby. Yeah? And that's it. Go ahead.
No, I'm very interested in what you're saying, and I understand exactly what you mean. And somebody mentioned a really interesting point earlier on about where people are from. And I mentioned this to Jackie as well. We say that people might have the same opportunities, but they don't utilize those opportunities because if you're, you know, in the heart of some working class area where people are keeping horses on the front of the green and driving, you know, kids are milling around on scooters and stolen motorbikes, you know, you're going to be led astray. You've got to be distracted by that. You're not thinking of your future. You're not thinking of going to your bedroom and studying. You just want to be involved with those kids. So from that point of view, it's very difficult for people to get out of that system. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, if they saw the other life, if they were brought out and you say, we're going to let you shadow this CEO, and the CEO drives up in a BMW, and he thinks, where did you get this? Did you steal it? He says, no, I bought it because I had the talent to do the job. And if they saw the other life, if they shadowed... somebody in Dorothy, the shadow of what they did in life, they'd have an understanding that, okay, crime doesn't pay, maybe in Ireland, I don't know, but it depends if you're elected. And the other thing is that they might turn around and go, well, yeah, what about something like apprenticeship, that if you want to go into computer applications, rather than go for the degree, you could build it up over an assessment period. Yeah? So the employer could see where you build your career, yeah?
Yeah.
Rather than getting a degree for 4 years that nobody probably can't pay for. They have no experience. You go up and say, I don't have a degree. Here's my career. What's your experience? None. Sorry. Next person that came from a different part of the world. Yeah, no problem. I'll take you on. Yeah?
Yeah.
So if that was a built up in there, most people want to go to college, but a lot of people may not have the finances to support.
A lot of people shouldn't be going to college. There are lots of people going to college. You shouldn't be. They should be going to apprenticeships. But that's beside the point.
Yeah, but if you had a kind of an apprenticeship where there was an assessment that would lead, like a pre-cert that would lead up into college and everything else would sort it in between. You know, like, I wouldn't say a degree would get you into a good job now because they want experience. Yeah, they want people with real life experience.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.